Welcome back to the last segment of the Outdoor Living Hour of Rosie on the House. We're at Stott Hall Museum up in the beautiful town of Prescott, and we're talking about the grounds here at the Stott Hall Museum with Steve Whitley, Master Gardener, and Dr. Sandy Lynch, the curator. She's a curator of anthropology here. Steve, you mentioned we talked in the first couple segments about the Rose Garden. Yes. And just 250?
About 275.
275. And we had a caller just asking, in the Prescott area, do you have to use the gypsum when you're planting things like we do?
It doesn't hurt. The thing is, most of the garden areas that I have been a lot of topsoil from the lake beds have been brought in.
Okay.
It's kind of a clay soil, yes, and so, yeah, sometimes I use gypsum, mostly just organic matter.
Okay, organic matter is kind of
like
key.
I make my own compost.
Okay.
And I use that to fortify the soil or, you know, help with the structure of the soil.
And you mentioned that one of the key components of that was making sure that the roses could drain. They don't
yes.
like to sit in water.
Right.
Okay, I just want to clarify that for our caller.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Sandy, we were talking through this new project y'all have worked, and you have a lot of the things already in place. It's a matter of kind of building it out. You have the wonderful petroglyphs and the, mm-hmm. is it matats or matates?
Matate.
Matate. I think I counted 9 out there that came off that property with the, so it's going to be just, I think the kids and the people that come will really get a sense of what life was like even before Charlotte Hall. And as you enter this garden, there's a beautiful statue. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the Corn Mother?
Well, there's a bronze statue that was created by Hopi artist who lives here in Prescott named Al Koya Waima. And he is a good friend to the museum, and he has it technically on loan and essentially for sale if anybody wants to buy it where the money comes here. But Al is one of the high-end artists in the American Indian art world. But it goes beyond that. Al is also a scientist, and so a serious scientist, because he worked on people that go around in space. He's that kind of an engineer. But he also knows the history of American Indians that go back in the thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And the Corn Mother celebrates a very interesting thing that happened. That started 9,000 years ago in Central America. In the Western Hemisphere, American Indians were the first manufacturers of GMO products, okay? They took a tiny plant that has silk thread that attaches to a grain so that when the wind would blow over, it would shatter and the seeds would spread everywhere. And so a handful of Indians started off in Central America selecting species or selecting parts of it, genetically different plants that hung on to those seeds. And they kept planting those for hanging on to that central core, that piece of straw, and over time developed an 8-row corn that became the bedrock of civilization for American Indians to have villages and settlements and pueblo houses. And so...
So they actually developed the corn.
They did. They genetically modified it by selection through selection processes, which we do today, only we speed it up in laboratories. But that is the first genetically modified food that you'd keep your children away from if you're a purist. That would have killed us. It would have R&D would have been killed the budget. Let's try something else. But that's
we wouldn't have survived without it, right?
How would they have reached the level of civilization without it? So that's what the Corn Mother is about. That's the story behind it. It's just like the petroglyphs has its story why it's there.
It's a beautiful piece. It's about, what do you think, four feet tall?
Well, when you're 5'2", everything's a giant.
I'm with
you. It's over my head and then some.
That's great. Okay, so tell us, what else do you want people to know about that? What's the time frame on it?
We don't have time frame. It's Indian time. Because plants grow, die, you know,
yeah.
So it's not a given. But if we look at things for the 10th generation yet to be born, and that's 10th generation is coming along a lot faster. So there are things we're going to learn in this ethnobotany garden that might save Prescott, might save parks, because things will come out of it that's really critically essential. And, we started talking about one of the key plants that was out here that was kind of the bedrock for a carbohydrate, for example, that kept people alive, the calories that kept people alive. And that is one of those saber-tooth plants we call agave, and a special kind of agave called agave Perrier. And here's what American Indians, the early ones, the ancestors, had to work with. Here's a plant that if you tear off a leaf, if you can get there without bleeding to death, mm-hmm. pop it in your mouth, it's like putting toilet cleaner in your mouth. It'll burn. It's caustic. So how did they eat that?
And why did they eat that?
And why did they eat it? Well, they probably looked at what happened to javelinas that went crazy after a prairie fire when the agaves were standing out there. That through the spires and the sticks and the thorns and everything that that plant produces, they were gobbling it up. So they probably wandered over there, tasted it, and said, holy cow. And what they had was a plant that had more calcium than an 8 ounce. A cup of agave has the same calcium a glass of milk does, and enough vitamin C to ward off scurvy. It's just really hard to process it in the kind of form that you can actually, they actually developed a system of canning and storing it, which is another day to come back and talk to you about. But they were able to build a storehouse, and the avapais relied on that single thing. It was the mother of all carbohydrates. It defined them.
Steve, what do you think about planting? Is agave okay to plant? Is that a learning curve for you?
Not in his rose garden.
Not in my rose garden. Yeah. She tried that one. But no, it's not hard to plant.
All right. Well, hey, thank you so very much for joining us at the Charlotte Hall Museum in Prescott. Come on up. There's still time to catch the Folk Music Festival. Rosie and Romy are standing by for the 9 and 10 o'clock hour at the Tucson Convention Center for the Saba Home Show. Have a great Saturday.